Good morning, everybody. Isn't it great we can all meet this way? Chapter 14 of Romans, starting at verse 1. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarrelling over disputed matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servant stands or falls. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, saith the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Here ends the reading.
Thanks, Belinda. Just let me get a little bit sorted here. Sure, yes, I'm unmuted. So today we're going to be thinking about as we come out of lockdown, as we approach that time, how do we engage with our world and how do we engage in conversation with each other around difficult matters. Let me pray, we'll tackle this topic together this morning with God's grace. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we again thank you for your word and that you speak to us through it. Father, we just pray now we'll humble our hearts before you to hear your voice, to hear the authority of your word. And Father, that you are a God who shows the way. No matter the circumstances, that you are in control, that you sustain everything, that you're sovereign over all things. And so, Father, help us today as we hear and we tackle through your words, we look through it, Father, that you'll guide us and remind us that we may love one another in the way that we deal with each other through this difficult time. So, Father, be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever I mention I love AFL, I get a general groan or maybe a lighthearted whatever from you guys. You know, we all enjoy different things, even in NRL. Now, some of us like red meat and others prefer fish. I love beach holidays where others prefer country holidays. Now, we all like different things or have different opinions on many things in our lives. You may even remember the sound test that was going around a few years ago. Some heard Yanning and others heard Laurel. You know, that caused great debate for weeks. Then there was another thing about the colour of a striped dress. No one could agree whether it's blue or gold. Some people probably said, who cares? And probably that's a fair response. Now, all these are all trivial matters that we might disagree on. We all have different likes or different dislikes that ultimately may cause some rivalry between us, but I hope not a lot of angst. And I hope we're still friends, even though I like AFL. Yet there are many more contentious issues that we often hold really strong views about, like politics. Even mention the word, I'm sure we'll get some starting to arc up a little bit. You know, it's the left versus the right. And over the last couple of years, other than COVID, we've seen great debates rage around the world on topics like climate change and global warming and immigration, the Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter. You know, where such debates got very heated very quickly. And we saw divisions occur in society and in friendships were strained. So how do we discuss our differences with each other so we don't run the risk of such opinions or likes and dislikes dividing us? Now, I think you'd all agree, since the rise of social media and the ease of expressing our opinions on, well, everything, the level of debate and our ability to discuss things and to persuade people with sound argument has deteriorated. You know, I think we no longer play the ball. You know, the ball is now the person. What I mean by that is we no longer play the issue. The issue can't be separated from the person. So you pick any contentious issue. There will be a fierce debate on both sides, and that's okay. But the problem is it doesn't take long for the differing views to turn personal. And at the moment, those who shout the loudest, you know, they're the ones playing the man, you know, you're one of them. We start to label people because they have different views to us. The discussion becomes very personal and then very degrading. It's really tragic. You know, Facebook was only accused this week by a whistleblower of putting profits before safety. You know, they were accused of feeding a toxic environment on their pages, allowing disinformation to flourish. The shaming of people by anonymous keyboard warriors goes unchecked. Well, at the moment, there's one issue or topic gripping the whole world that has become, sadly, a political and contentious and divisive issue. And that's the debate of all things COVID. You know, it became political so quickly with regards to wearing a mask or not, to lockdowns or freedom, and now to be vaccinated or not. Overnight, many became experts on everything to do with infectious diseases. I never thought about an epidemiologist before, and all of a sudden they were everywhere. You know, social media and the internet in general became the place we found all sorts of information, opinions, disinformation, conspiracy theories about COVID. And as we look forward and navigate our way out of this difficult, distressing, and tiring lockdown, we're already seeing issues in a society separating the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. People divided on what should happen when we open up. You know, no jab, no work. Even in the church, how we all return to physical gatherings has the potential to divide us. This one issue is who's vaccinated and who is not. You know, COVID is a very tender, complex issue, and its impacts have affected many through the loss of loved ones and those who continue to struggle with its effects. That I think we need to approach this topic with sensitivity. It requires patience and care and wisdom, and I think ultimately love. And it's not just me speaking about it, but all of us in conversation about it. And what I hope from today is that we have a loving framework rather than just being a particular evangelist for one particular position. So what I want to do today is explore the whole question, what is it like to be part of a church with different views? How do we actually relate to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ so that we glorify God and not ourselves? Now, I'm not a doctor. You know, my job before God is to help us think biblically through these issues before us, to give us a biblical framework to think about such matters and future issues we will face. It's the word of God that I pray will lead each one of us to respond in a way that glorifies God.
You know, the word of God is our authority. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You know, the right living before God. Not Facebook, not our politics, not conspiracy theories. In these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. Are we listening to him? I know that's a long way of an introduction, but I approach this talk in our response to all things COVID by highlighting a few principles. And I'm going to break it up in three ways, a good three-way sermon, a three-point sermon. I want to look at the big picture of how as Christians we relate to the world in this. And then the church, how we relate to each other. And then personally, my personal responsibility before God. 3 points. Firstly, I'll give you a moment. Catch your breath. Firstly, let's start with the big picture in terms of context. Now, I agree, we're all over lockdown. We're all feeling a bit vulnerable. We're all likely to overact out of frustration and weariness. We're going to feel all kinds of pressure from all parts of society about getting the vaccine versus the right to freedom to choose who should be allowed in cafes and churches and so on. But what we ought to do is to turn our panic, concerns, fears, firstly, into prayer. You know, God is no less on the throne now than he was before COVID, as he will be after COVID. Jesus is still ruling. Jesus is ruling at the right hand of the Father, still working out his purposes in his world. That is for all to come to know him and put their faith in him. And of course, we have a Father in heaven who cares for us. He knows our needs even before we ask. And remember, he's the Father who takes care of the birds. And are we not much more valuable than them? And so he says, don't be like the pagans who panic and run after all the basic needs of life. Now, we are supposed to be different. In that sense, the repeated rebuke by Jesus to his disciples is, why are you afraid? And so what do we do? We turn our anxiety, concerns, fear into prayer. As Paul encourages in Philippians 4, not to be anxious but about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. You know, Paul's request is for us to turn to God, not so much to stop feeling anxious, but to turn our anxiety into praying. Now, that's productive. You know, we often turn panic, concern, and fear into eating too much. No, rather let the peace of God guard your troubled hearts and assure you. It's what prayer does. That will be much greater comfort to you than obsessing about the latest piece of information. It's not Gladys, Scott, or Dominic we trust in, but it's Jesus. Now, we know that. But are we praying, especially for our government that we are called to do, and submitting to them? Or are we whinging about more about them? Because friends, before a watching world, and particularly on social media, we get a chance to be different and not panic, and to refuse to give in to the panic caused by fear and conspiracy theories. Because we have a God who explicitly stated, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. How good's that? Prayer and thankfulness. You may remember our last series started in Genesis 1, where we are image bearers of God, blessed to rule and flourish under God. So we ought to be thankful and pray for our scientists and our doctors. You know, there is not a war going on between science and religion. We're to be thankful we're made in God's image to push back on the effects of the fall. And our scientists and doctors and many Christians among them are doing exactly the role that what image bearers are called to do, to rule and manage this earth under God. And part of that is to rule over this darn virus causing so much grief in this world. And so we're called to use our God-given mind and assess the research and the medical advice that comes our way, not just in vaccines, but all matters of health and safety. How do we do that? Remember, think about how we engage in the world. Well, I went to my GP recently, and she had this coffee cup that said, "Do not confuse your Google search with my medical degree." What does that say about our approach to COVID? What does it say about vaccines and the various health advice we get? You know, we need to keep in mind there are many risks in life. You know, it's a marker of a broken world. There is no perfect this side of heaven. We can't avoid risk. We live outside the garden after the fall. It's a broken world. We are mortal beings. You get that, don't you? And so we must never think we can avoid risk. No, a neutral position is impossible. Do something, don't do it, take it, don't take it. What we are called to do in a broken world is engage in the science that brings about calculated risks. What you can do is all about calculated risks. Trust in your doctor and scientists. But here's what I've learned. There's absolutely no risk in following our Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised on the third day. And one day will raise your body to everlasting life. For that, I'm certain, and I hope you are too. Prayerful, thankful, watchful. And remember, engaging in our world, watch how much time you are spending reading and becoming a little mini expert on vaccines or conspiracy theories or claiming COVID is not that bad. You know, what I witness on Facebook is some people are more expert on this now as Christians than they are in the Bible. So I ask this question this morning. Are you more excited about sharing your position, your views on all things COVID, or sharing Christ and the comfort that he gives? So just in terms of our waiting, what is dominating our conversations right now? Is it the word and prayer? Now, because if it's not the things of God, we're off balance. It doesn't mean we can't talk about such matters. It's what dominates and shape our discussion that matters. And that's why Romans 12 verse 2 is a helpful reminder for us. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, what Paul is laying out for us is a radical way of living in view of God's mercy to us. It will require a transformed mind to pursue it. And he holds up two patterns, the pattern of the world and the pattern of God's will. And Paul tells us to recognize and reject the pattern of thinking and feeling and behaving that characterizes the world, and to embrace God's will for all character and life. So are our opinions shaped more by social media, internet, politics than the word of God? As I said, that is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You know, that right living before God comes through the scriptures. So are we conforming or being transformed? And so Paul here is referring to that inner transformation rather than mere outward conformity in the world. It takes wisdom and goodness to discover more of the wise and the good. And that occurs through the renewing of your mind. It doesn't just stop there. It leads to transformed hearts by the Holy Spirit through prayer. So transformed in the pattern of Christ, resulting in holy reasoning to be lived out in the world. So we're no longer conformed to the attitudes and practices of the world. As I said, we are meant to be different, and for that difference to shine in the world of darkness. And the difference is Christ in you and me, as he transforms us to be like him through his word and prayer. So the big picture, we need to be prayerful, thankful, and watchful, transformed by the word of God, so we no longer conform to the patterns of the world. And importantly, don't bring those patterns or attitudes of the world into the life of the church, especially in how we relate to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, accepting each other, especially in our differences. As Paul highlights in Romans 14 that Belinda read to us. I'm going to read that first part again in a minute. But firstly, how do we relate to each other on matters we might agree to disagree on? Such matters today may be referred to disputable matters. The problem is that we can turn disputable matters into indisputable matters. You know, often these issues are referred to as matters of the conscience. So someone's conscience may allow them to eat meat, be vaccinated, where another believe they can't eat and not vaccinated. But the difference between indisputable matters and disputable matters is straightforward. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an indisputable matter. That is, this is something to be confessed as a foundational truth of the gospel. If people are to be saved, Jesus had to be raised from the dead. Indisputable. The disputable matters are those the Bible doesn't have a clear word on, to be vaccinated or not. It doesn't mean that God's word doesn't help us. More on that in a minute. And so Paul's argument here is these matters ought not to be the cause of division. We are to accept each other as God has accepted us. The problem is that taking vaccination, for example, those who are vaccinated may see themselves as strong and seeing those who are not vaccinated as weak, which can lead to division. That's right. That's why we need to read Romans 14 verses 1-3 twice. And that's what I'm going to do for us now. And I want you to listen carefully to both of them and see two perspectives here. Romans 14, welcome anyone who is weak in the faith, but don't argue about disputable matters. One person believes he may get vaccinated, eat anything. While one who is weak does not get vaccinated, eats only vegetables. One who gets vaccinated eats, must not look down on the one who does not get vaccinated, who eats. And the one who does not get vaccinated eats, must not judge one who does get vaccinated, because God has accepted him. Let me read that again. Romans 14, verse 1. Welcome anyone who is weak in the faith, but don't argue about disputed matters. One person believes he may not get vaccinated, eat anything. While one who is weak gets vaccinated, eats only vegetables. One who does not get vaccinated eats, must not look down on the one who gets vaccinated, does not eat. And the one who gets vaccinated, does not eat, must not judge one who does not get vaccinated, because God has accepted them. It's helpful to see this from both perspectives. Neither position is right or wrong in that sense. But Paul says that both the strong and the weak, no matter what position you take, must not follow their natural inclinations when it comes to each other. Rather, we should welcome one another because God has welcomed and accepted you. I think this is really powerful. Paul says we must remember that whatever a Christian's strength or weakness in behavior or views, vaccinated or unvaccinated, he or she is completely loved and accepted by the Father through Christ. We need to remember God is the only judge. Verse 4 is a strong warning against denouncing a Christian who differs from you in a matter of conscience. The word judge here does not mean a simple evaluation. You know, we can discuss these matters and we ought to discuss these matters. But the judge here is one of condemnation and denouncing them. Denouncing someone is to judge them. You know, we're to accept anyone the Lord has accepted in the gospel. We're saved by grace through faith alone. We're not to condemn anyone for whom there is now no condemnation in the gospel. You know, we must ensure our consciences are in line with the freedom of the gospel. And we should make sure we are then living in line with the gospel. Now, Paul goes on in Romans 14 to make every effort that leads to peace and mutual edification. 14 verse 19. So don't use your convictions about this matter to drive a wedge in the church of God between brother and sister in Christ. What does that look like? Well, I think when you lay your head down on the pillow at night, reflect on this. Have I said and acted for the sake of others? Because you notice in Romans 14, verse 12, at the end of what Belinda read, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Simply, what this verse reminds us in the context of accepting one another, each one of us should focus on our own conduct. How each of us will answer for it when we meet God. That's a scary warning, isn't it? We'll all have to give an account of ourselves before God. Not what someone else is doing, but what we do personally. And so that leads us to think about our final principle, our personal response to all things COVID. See, the God of the Bible, as we read, has a constant eye on the vulnerable, the orphan, the widow, the powerless. You know, 1 Corinthians 12, they are to be the priority amongst us. Because the vulnerable are not like that by choice. But my choices impacts others. And so we need to be mindful, especially to the vulnerable amongst us. And Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 13, warning us, without love, we are nothing. Now, we may be free with disputable matters. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So the Christian life is not about you. And Jesus calls us to take up our cross and to follow him. You know, the cross is not a difficult boss, not even trials or hardships that we may face, but rather walking in Jesus' steps, embracing his life, the narrow way of the cross. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Jesus and for the gospel will save it. You know, before a watching world, the world today says, look out for numero uno. The world says, save yourself, love yourself, pamper yourself, live for yourself, do what is best for yourself. Remember the renewing of our mind? No, we are meant to have the mind of Christ. You know, our attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who considered others better than himself, who put the interests of others above himself, who did not take advantage of the fact that he was in the very nature God, but humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Whatever your view on COVID, whatever your view on vaccines are, adopt other person's centered attitude to it. Whatever your view on COVID or vaccines, adopt other person's centered attitude to it. All of us need to check the motives of our hearts. Do they conform to the world? It's all about me. Or transform to be like Christ-like in everything. How do we do that? Well, remember the two great commandments. Never forget, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So whatever you decide, pro anti-vaccination position, make sure your motivation is not simply love yourself, but to love others, in particular, the vulnerable. We will need to have an attitude in all things as we come back together as a church. So this is a crucial time for us to be different. And so the world will see the profound mystery that is God's church. And for us in Blakers, we're a group of people, men and women, young and old, different views on politics, different views on vaccines. Somehow that diversity finds its unity at the foot of the cross. Nothing I bring, but it's simply to the cross I cling. See, that's where we are united by the blood of Christ, where we share one Father, one Lord, one baptism, one faith, sealed by the one Spirit of God. And then let the world watch and see that the love we have for each other, in spite of our differences, that we were prepared to talk about in healthy and robust conversations. But the watching world will be able to say, by this they will know that you are my disciples, Jesus says, if you have love for one another. Friends, that's the cross we are to carry. For we live for the glory of God and not ourselves. So to the watching world, prayerful, thankful, and watchful, accepting one another, and importantly, giving up my freedoms to humbly love one another. And I know that is all to the glory of God. So friends, in the coming days and weeks and months, I pray we will be people marked out by our love for one another in all things. Love our God, love our neighbour. There's two greatest commandments. Let me pray for us this morning. Father God, I pray that before the watching world, we will be different. Different than the way that we respond to all things in our lives, remembering that your sovereign seen in the way we bring all things to you in prayer. Father, I pray you keep transforming and renewing our minds through your word and by your Spirit at work in us. Father, that we can be thankful for those who care for us and who are subduing things in this world to push back the effects of the fall. May we embrace those things. But Father, may we all through this accept one another as you have accepted us. And Father, the way that we do that is to love one another. Father, I pray we'll see again so deeply your love for us in and through the Lord Jesus, that that love will shape and mark us in our conversations, in our actions, and the way that we put the interests of others, especially the vulnerable, before us. So, Father, by your Spirit in us, guide us and grant us wisdom. Give us patience. Help us to be sensitive, caring. And above all, Lord, drive us to the foot of the cross where we see your love poured out on us. And that love we may embrace and share that love deeply with others. And so the world may see that we are truly Jesus' disciple. And that we may live for your glory. Amen.